ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 31। यमराज इंस्ट्रक्ट्स हिज मैसेंजर्स। तस्मात् संकीर्तनम् विष्णोर् जगन्मंगलमम् हसाम् महतामपि कौरव्य विधि एकांतिक निष्कृतम्। ट्रांसलेशन प्रोपर बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड, माय डियर किंग, द चैंटिंग ऑफ द होली नेम ऑफ द लॉर्ड इज एबल टू अप्रूट इवन द रिएक्शंस ऑफ द ग्रेटेस्ट सिंस। देयरफॉर the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. Purport. We should note that although Ajamil chanted the name of Narayan imperfectly, he was delivered from all sinful reactions. The chanting of the holy name is so auspicious that it can free everyone from the reactions of sinful activities. One should not conclude that one may continue to sin with the intention of chanting Hare Krishna to neutralize the reactions. Rather, one should be very careful to be free from all sins and never think of counteracting sinful activity by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, for this is another offense. If by chance a devotee accidentally performs some sinful activity, the Lord will excuse him, but one should not intentionally perform sinful activities. Swami continued, my dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able. A very, very enlivening and refreshing verse, which is immediately brings happiness to the heart, because this is something which we are all trying to dedicate our lives to. It is so beautiful and prophetic that Yamaraj is proclaiming even years, years, years ago, many, many millennium ago, that Sankirtanam Vishnu is the only path of true auspiciousness in this world. On the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we think of various verses which has evidences for Mahaprabhu's descent, this is one such verse which is almost echoing the prophetic descent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that when the personality who is Jagathitaya, that is Krishnaya, Krishna is the well-wisher of all living entities, he always thinks of Jagat Mangalam. So Jagadhitaya Krishnaya has come as for doing the Jagat Mangalam by spreading Sankirtan movement in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is more or less the conclusion of the entire. Yamaraj is now summarizing his instructions to his beloved servants. And in the episode of Ajamil is now almost coming to an end in the next 2-3 verses. So this may very well be considered as the sum and substance of the entire pastime which we have been listening for so many weeks now. Because the entire purpose of this verse was to instill faith in Parikshit Maharaj and all of us that there is always a shadow of hope. There is great hope, not just shadow. There is a great hope for everyone in this world. The only challenge, of course, is somebody has to be there to compassionately show us this path. Because there are so many misleading paths which can bewilder a person. Unless there is an intervention of a pure devotee who is conversant with this truth, this path is not opened. People are likely to get stuck up with all of the processes which are offered in the Vedic literatures, which are many, 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 many. It is amazing that even among the higher planetary systems, this knowledge is not actually available. We may consider ourselves extremely fortunate, even on Earth planet, Bhuloka, that this refined knowledge, where all other subsidiary processes of purification have been eliminated, and exactly what we're supposed to do has been told in very, very clear-cut terms. We may think that there is, in the higher planetary systems, there is preponderance of the mode of goodness, and therefore they may be in tune with this knowledge. But this is not fact. In the previous canto, when we hear of that there are yajnas being performed, in the pastime of Daksha Prajapati, we hear that actually so many of the heads of the entire universe had come together. Like the HODs of various departments we have in every university, we have HOD of chemistry, physics, geometry, geography, like so many. So also is a huge department of the entire managerial government of the entire universe, and the HODs of all of them had come together. You can imagine what must be their intellectual prowess, what must be their capacity to manage their scholarship, how much they must be in full tune with the principles of how the world operates, the intricacies of how the material nature works. These greatest of all great sages, headed by Marichi, then Vasishtha, Bhrigu, these very special souls were very, very exalted. And of course, there was Daksha. Now, Daksha, it is said that even when he entered among all these people who are very effulgent people because of their austerities, their jnana tapasya, they were very effulgent personalities, and all of them are sitting in their exalted seats. But when Daksha Prajapati came inside, he subdued the effulgence of everybody else. Everyone became little, almost intimidated by his impressive personality. He was absolutely at the helm of affairs, and we could see in his stance, in his walk, in his gait, in his eyes, that he was in full control of the situation. And he was very, very, very luminous to see. Even the fire gods were a source of all light in this world. Fire, even they became subdued. So, we would think that Daksha Prajapati is such an exalted person. He is in direct lineage from Brahma. He is so close to the hierarchy up there. He must be having all knowledge. But we see, he makes a massive blunder. Makes a huge blunder. He had wisdom, he had knowledge, he had tapasya, he had intense scholarship. He was extremely wealthy, powerful. He had all these qualifications. And if such a person were to come to this earth planet, the amount of charisma he would exhibit, he would make him the most popular person on the entire earth. And if he would speak something, he would get billions of followers. Because by his, esteemed knowledge. But we see that even at that hierarchy level, the heads of states of all the departments of the entire universe are there. And there are so many departments. Every species, there is a demigod controlling every species. There is a demigod for mosquitoes. We know that there is a pastime That even the mosquito is one species, but there is a demigod for that. Huh? Of course, that is a very important person now, I'm sure, up there, because because he is really controlling human beings like anything. Huh? The human behavior is so much governed by mosquitoes nowadays. And he's creating havoc among the human community, and therefore he is right now sort of in the forefront. Huh? How they are deploying, using mosquitoes to, you know, kill and destroy human civilization is amazing. How that one mosquito has been optimally used. Earlier it was used for just biting, which is okay. Okay, you know, you bite and you just shove him off. But then the nature arranged that he gets association of the parasites, the malarial parasites, and that created havoc. Then he got association of dengue virus, that created havoc. Now he's getting association of chikungunya virus, that is creating unlimited havoc. So these are all powerful demigods who can control mosquitoes and all these, they're all there up. But among all of them was Dakshapadavaji, he was more powerful than all of them. But he failed to recognize a pure devotee. Why? Because he wasn't a devotee himself. So this knowledge, what I'm trying to say is, this knowledge which we are getting is not even available to the most exalted of demigods. Even Dakshapadavaji is in utter ignorance of the basics of bhakti. Because he said it takes one to know one. Since he's not a devotee, he could not understand who this person is sitting. He was lost in meditation, thinking of Krishna's pastime. He couldn't recognize his. And the whole mess took place and everything else happened and all that. So even though there are sacrifices being performed, yagyas are there, and Vishnu is regularly appearing in the higher planetary systems for accepting his share of oblations. Brahmaji comes, Shivji comes, Vishnu comes, and all the demigods also, they come along with them. And they take the oblation and they go back. And all these demigods, they see Vishnu. Indra is seeing Vishnu. But because of the absence of association of pure devotee, they are not being infected, positively infected, by the desire to perform devotional service. They see Vishnu as one of the gods who comes, takes oblations, offer pranams to him, respects to him, prayers to him, glorify him, but the desire to serve him with implicit faith and love does not arise in the heart. They remain bereft of this desire for unalloyed devotional service at his lotus feet. And we on earth planet, which is far more inferior than Brahmaloka and other planets, we are being allowed by the mercy of the acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada, to get something which is unavailable even into the topmost evolved species, human beings, and higher are the ghosts, higher and the lesser demigods, and the superior demigods, and like that. So all of them above us, they do not get what we are getting. So Srimad Bhagavatam is that very special literature, which eliminates, as we have seen in the very first canto, it eliminates all other processes and gives you only the exact thing. So this is one of those key verses. That what is most auspicious, not this yagya, that yagya, this, nothing else. Jagat Mangalam is Vishnur Sankirtanam. Clear cut. And this is going to be auspicious for the whole universe. Wherever and whenever there is chanting of the holy names, it brings auspiciousness to the entire universe. That doesn't happen with other processes. If somebody is doing yoga dhyana siddhi, sitting in a forest and doing, he doesn't have influence of affecting positive, he affects only negatively, because if he starts doing tapasya like Hiranyakashipu yoga, then he negatively influences the whole universe and it gets choked up with fire, flames and all that. So when people go for the yogic processes, they negatively influence. But when you do bhakti, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, then it brings about positive auspiciousness all over. Prabhupada was saying that I am chanting Hare Krishna here, you are chanting Hare Krishna over there, and the mantra is going all around the entire universe, and therefore we are connected to each other. So these vibrations go all over the place. And it is interesting to note that it is Yamaraj who is actually seeing this happen, and he is instructing his Yamadutas in that way. And the same Yamaraj, years later, is going to witness the actual effect of this, what he is just saying. That this Jagat Mangalam process of chanting Hare Krishna, when it really happens to Jagai and Madhai, what was his state at that time? What he is instructing the Yamadutas, he himself got to see that the most sinful. Now, Ajamil is not considered the most sinful. Ajamil was, to start with, was a pious person. He was beginning to become a devotee. But Jagai and Madhai, they were utterly sinful right from day one practically. And we can only estimate their sins by Yamaraj's own words. Then he says that their sins had gone into state of a mountain of files. Mountain. How much is that? He said actually all those people, his scribes, who were just noting down what Yamaraj of these people are doing, they were actually getting tired and exhausted. Like you get cramps when you write a lot. Like many devotees will go through that usually people are used to working on the computer, but once start writing few things and it gives the cramps. But these people are used to writing every day, the sins of so many people in the world. But now what they are doing for the entire world, now they are only focusing on two people. The whole staff, which is catering to the sinful activities of all people in the entire universe. And obviously in the entire universe there are so many sinful people are doing so many things and they are reasonably able to manage. But now eliminating everybody else's activity, only focusing on two people to keep track of that is causing exhaustion. And everybody is recruited into the same department. Focus on these two people. They are the most. And they are not able to do that. One file, two file, 10 file, 100 file, 1,000 million. Mountainous files. So when Yamaraj asked Chitragupta, what's happening? What is the extent of their sins? Said, don't ask, my dear sir. It is impossible to even count what they have done. And therefore, when we see that what is the actual event which took place in the life of Jagai Madai, which made them receptive to this mercy. Obviously, when so much sinfulness is performed, there is no question of mercy. It is just punishment and punishment and more punishment and just on and on and on punishment only. Till they can probably give. They will keep on giving punishment. What is the turning point? There is one small but very powerful event which took place. Madai had smashed the head of Jagai. Bleeding, wounded. Scalp was fractured practically. And there is oozing of blood all over his body. Mahaprabhu comes in with Shivan Chakra and wants to chop him off right there for hitting his dearmost devotee, Nityananda Prabhu. But then he was told that when after Madai hit, I want to smash again. And Jagai said that Mahaprabhu told actually gave the mercy to first to Jagai or Madai? What did he give? Jagai, right? Yeah. Because Jagai apparently stopped Madai from hitting him again. He was out to kill him. He was so intoxicated. He was going to get another smash and kill him there and there itself. But Jagai had obstructed him from doing so. He said, can't you see this person actually is still praying for you? Is still, so humble. He's not attacking you back. He has done this. So please don't do that. That was the only turning point in the entire Leela. Rendering of devotional service. That service of preventing from getting another smash. Forget the first smash is already forgiven. Just because you prevented the second smash on Nityananda Prabhu's head, that becomes like the qualification for Jagai to get Prema Bhakti. what an unimaginable thing it is happening. He is not doing anything wonderful, he is just abstracting from getting another smash. That's all. And Mahaprabhu just embraces him and infuses his heart's mercy into Jagai's heart. And he becomes intoxicated with Prema Bhakti. What a sharp contrast from having mountains of sin which are make him eligible to go to hellish planet for millions of years. The most merciful comes. Because the mercy of God cannot be superseded by anything in this world. The topmost thing is mercy. Sin can never be more than mercy. Even though you have unlimited sins, infinite number of sins, mercy can still supersede infinite infinity of sins. So infinite sin on one side and infinite mercy on one side. Mercy always is higher than sin. So the unlimited mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu floods the heart of Jagai and he gets love of God. And immediately, on the plea of Nityananda Prabhu, even Madhai also gets the love of God. So, now these people had not done any chanting, except some, you know, ridiculous chanting when you are seeing, you know, these people in the distance, hearing them, some chanting is going on there. You know, they were like, you know, they also intoxicated, they were chanting like that. That's the only chanting they had done. But sir, they had not offended Vaishnavas. So here Prabhupada in the purport is highlighting in this verse, rather than talking about the glories of the holy name here, Prabhupada seems to be talking more about the offensive part. That is, what is it that diminishes the unlimited value of the holy name? The value of the holy name is so wonderful that it can eliminate, as it says here, unlimited number of sins. So what is the dilutional factor? Dilutional factor is the rendering of offenses. Therefore, we find that actually, you know, chanting is in itself a complete process of the Yuga Dharma. Yet, because we don't chant offenselessly, a second Yuga Dharma is necessary. If we were actually non-offensive personalities, the Holy Name itself would be enough for us to take us back to Godhead. But to make that chanting effective, the component of humility is most important. Chanting without humility becomes ineffective. Therefore, it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one can go on for chanting for millions of years and still not get life or love of God. Why? Because they relax the component of humility. So it is humility which makes the chanting effective. And then the question should arise, what actually leads to humility, which will make chanting effective? Humility can only be aroused in the heart by serving the Vaishnavas. That is the component. So chanting alone, even though it is all powerful, all pure, completely effective, panacea cure for all evils, it will not bear results to the chanter till he adds the component of humble service to the Vaishnavas. Therefore, anything which will retard the process of which is offensive will diminish the effect of the holy name. Therefore, before initiation, we have noted that before initiation even takes place, before the switch master even grants the holy name in initiation, he makes the candidates chant the 10 offenses. Because while giving Harinam, Diksha, this Harinam has been given to you, my dear candidate, my dear disciple, which will actually give you love of God. But before you learn to chant the holy name which I am giving you, please remember first the offenses. Therefore, all the devotees sit together and first remember, yes, these are things I have to avoid. Then what my guru is giving me will become most effective. If I don't remember these every day, and therefore even before chanting every day is our sadhana bhakti in our temples, all our temples of ISKCON, before we start taking the japmala in our hand and start chanting, before we do that activity, to make it effective, to make it fully applicable, to bear full results, there has to be diligent awareness of the 10 offenses. Therefore, before we chant, we do the 10 offenses. The Prabhupada is talking over here about that. Because the first offense, for example, is directly against the principles of humility. blaspheming devotees. There is no question of holy name ever having any action on the chanter. There is blasphemy of the devotees. Second offense, considering demigods to be equal to the Supreme Lord, is also against the principle of humility. Humility means to take shelter. If you think you can take shelter of Brahma and Shiva and Ganesh and Indra and Chandra and Vayu and Varun and Krishna also, then there is no question of humility. That's against the principle of humility. So actually when we examine properly, these 10 offenses actually are against the principles of humility. And one who follows these all offenses properly is actually the real humble soul. Prabhupada is talking about here the 7th offense especially. Nama baladasya hi papa buddhi. That even though it can eliminate all sins, no sin is left out. Any sin whatsoever. Still, if one goes on sinning after getting Harinam Diksha, we see in the life of Jesus Christ also, Christ was a Satyavesh avatar, was out to give mercy to anybody and everybody, even the prostitute, who's obviously a very sinful person. And when that prostitute actually takes the humble position, and wipes the feet of this great soul, Charan Padar Rajobhishekam, and bathes that with her tears of our love, of repentance. The tears of repentance, which signifies humility, and then Jesus Christ blessed that now my blessings, all sins are eliminated. You have repented right now, my blessings are with you, all sins are gone. But now, sin no more. Sin no more. So we can safely conclude that if we are not making very rapid progress in spiritual life, as this process should give us, this process should actually give rapid elimination of all sinful activities and take you back to Godhead, as you say, in a zippy, practically. It is so powerful. So Prabhupada, understanding the value of the holy name, guaranteed every of his follower one lifetime only of dedicated chanting. One lifetime. All sinful activities of millions of lifetimes. How long we have been here, we don't know. But it is at least millions and millions of lifetimes. All that, Prabhupada guaranteed in one lifetime one can go back to Godhead. So Prabhupada gives us only 30, 40, 50 years of chanting as requirement to go back home. That is the power of the holy name. But we can understand that if we do not go back to God in one lifetime, it must be because of offenses. There is no other reason. There is no other reason whatsoever. There is no mystery about this. Why a person will not go back to God if he starts chanting Hare Krishna mantra. There is no mystery about it. He will only stay back for a couple of more lifetimes, of course. He will go back eventually, very soon. It's because he is being retarded. The speed is like you applying the accelerator and the brake at the same time. You're giving full acceleration in the fourth gear. Your car is supposed to speed back to Godhead. But then if you're also applying brakes, not knowing that actually I'm on the fourth gear, I should be just holding the steering wheel properly. Just go on. I'm on a highway. Bhakti is prepared compared to like going on a highway. We don't have to worry about taking a left turn or right turn, and there'll be sharp turns, and there'll be people going. Just have to go absolutely take the just steering wheel, just hold on straight and keep going. But unfortunately, we also in between keep on putting brakes and we retard our progress. And you make so many offenses and you practically jam the brakes. You just put a heavy jam and the car practically stops. And you're stuck in the material world again. So we shouldn't be breaking our spiritual progress with this. Therefore, in the training of devotees, to allow them to go on the rapid highway of back to Godhead, the spiritual master focuses on the most important training he gives the devotees is this part. Chanting is already given. Holy name is given at Diksha. But after Diksha, he trains them in the component of Vaishnav etiquette. Because Vaishnav etiquette is that most important part of training which teaches him to how to deal in a humble spirit with seniors, equals and juniors. And only when a devotee understands these things, and gets ornamented by the Vaishnava etiquette he follows, then actually he becomes beautiful in the eyes of God. He becomes ornamented. Till then he is chanting Hare Krishna. He is not ornamented still. Krishna is going to be attracted to him just because he is chanting Hare Krishna mantra. That itself is insufficient. But what attracts the all attractive to you, to us, to all of us, is whether we are following a component of Vaishnava etiquette. Vaishnava etiquette makes a person actually beautiful in the eyes of the all beautiful. And without that, he is shabby. He is a little shabby. Huh? So, therefore we have two parts of the Yoga Dharma. One part is the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, other part is the following of Vaishnava etiquette or service to the Vaishnavas. It is a combination of these two which bring the ultimate result of Prema Bhakti. And these two are inseparable components. Before, we can see in Prabhupada's time, and prior to Prabhupada's time, there was immense emphasis on the component of chanting. Therefore, they were supposed to chant 64 rounds. But Prabhupada, being the way he was, could reduce chanting, something which his predecessors had not done. But he could conveniently convert the component of less chanting into devotional service to the Vaishnavas. He engaged all his disciples in serving him, to spread, to distribute his books, make temples, construction, deity worship. They all started serving him. So that added the component of Vaishnava Seva. And because these two are absolute principles, chanting and serving Vaishnava are absolute principles. They are not two different things. They are absolute. Both are designed to please Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna pleases Krishna. And serving Vaishnavas also pleases Krishna. Both are here. Both are based on the Bhagavad philosophy of Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam. So, Prabhupada could actually convert that extra time which devotees would not be able to engage in chanting, because 64 rounds would take them 8 hours, which for a restless mind of anybody, whether Westerner or Easterner, is impossible to sit and chant. 16 rounds is taken enough of it, you know, we can know that 16 rounds itself is like anything more, even 17th round becomes difficult. So 16 is just enough for us. But then he could convert all the extra time in devotional service. So that is the glory of Prabhupada's understanding, that chanting and Vaishnava Seva both combined to yield the results. So now chanting will keep on improving to the extent the other component improves. You must understand this factor very clearly, that chanting cannot be improved just by techniques, by sitting straight, putting the hands on wrist joint on the knee joint, and the spine should be aligned together in one straight line. These in themselves are ineffective in improving chanting all by themselves. They are only small aids to help. But the real change, which really improves the quality of our chanting, is to the extent we are working on the other component, which is service to the Vaishnavas. In Mahaprabhu's Mahaprakash Leela, this fact is so beautifully shown that Dukhi was not chanting Hare Krishna mantra. She was simply engaging in service, humble service to the Vaishnavas. There was a grand function going on, this grand ceremony going on. Ceremoniously, the Lord was being bathed with Abhishek, with, you know, so many pots of Ganges water. And everyone was engaged in just bringing the pots from there to the Shiva Thakur's home. And Dukhi is not even there in that arena where the Lord can actually, you know, not in the forefront. She is outside the house, just gathering the pots and putting them in a way so that devotees don't have to really go here and there. Everything is aligned properly. Pick up the pots and go and just bathe the Lord. She is not even actually visually present to enjoy this beautiful scene. But the Lord can see. The Lord can see everything. When she sees this humble service to the Vaishnavas, she is not rendering service to him directly. She is rendering service to the Vaishnavas. And that in itself is enough to make this a maid servant, which is obviously from a previous activity, she must be a, to get a job of a maid servant is not a very high job. It's a very low job. this, you know, Kamali Bai, what do you call, you know, Kamali. Yeah? Just, you know, doing pota and everything else, pocha, and cleaning up the house and all that. It's a very inferior type of this thing, activity. But that person gets the highest reward of Prem Bhakti. Why? Because he's engaging in devotional service to the Vaishnavas. So actually here we see that she is not chanting Hare Krishna mantra, but only serving the Vaishnavas. Still she gets the love of God. So what we see, the most important thing is the factor of humility. The humble service she was rendering was enough to attract the Lord's mercy. So the whole purpose of serving the Vaishnavas is only one: to generate humility. Huh? That is the only purpose of serving the Vaishnavas. Huh? To somehow please them. Whatever it takes to please them, that is what is required. Whether it is serving prasad to them, or washing their clothes, getting an air ticket for them, whatever is required. Huh? In whatever way, at the physical level, at the emotional level, at the spiritual level. By holistically serving the Vaishnavas. Therefore, wherever and whenever there is stress on this component of Vaishnava etiquette, of service to Vaishnavas, that temple, that center, that community always flourishes. And when this is not emphasized in the community, then even though everyone is chanting Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds every day, there may not be growth of that community. Because chanting in itself is insufficient in Kali Yuga. Because we are so offensive by our very nature, so deeply offensive, that invariably, even devotees will end up behaving offensively with them. And everyone is chanting Hare Krishna, but dealing with it becomes offensive, the process of chanting becomes ineffective. But when that is taken care of nicely, then there is growth, there is unlimited growth of the Bhakti Lata Beej. So this is what Mahaprabhu is stressing so much: service and chanting. And therefore, Kaviraj Goswami says that in just by doing these two things, that is enough to go back to Godhead. Yes, we follow Ekadashi. Yes, we attend Mangalarti. Yes, all these things are done because they are all done as a matter of sadhana, to fix our minds on the devotional activities. But all this will ultimately lead to generation of these two things: increased desire to chant Hare Krishna, increased desire to serve the Vaishnavas. In Prabhupada's pastimes also we see that there was a great devotee called George Harrison who taught. There is an example about, you know, we're talking about the power of the Mahamantra in this verse. George Harrison was himself recounting the power of the holy name. He was going by flight, and it is said that he was explaining his devotees that actually the flight started going topsy-turvy. There was a bad weather or something, and it was actually going upside down and going in a very, very difficult situation. It was complete chaos. You can imagine going by flight high up there, 10,000 miles in the air, and the flight just starts shaking and going up and down. What kind of havoc it can create. But the only person who knew what to do at that time was George Harrison, because he had been to India and he's screaming at the top of his voice the Hare Krishna Mahamantra loudly, in utter helplessness, obviously. And the chanting of the Mahamantra, he experienced this. Somehow, things just settled down. And not only his life was saved, everyone else also was hearing the holy name, who was sitting in the plane. So they were also doing the Shravanam activity. They were also engaged in devotional service, because he was chanting, obviously, offenselessly at that time. Here is an example of non-offensive chanting of a person who has not even still become a devotee by meeting up. He has just come to India, heard the Mahamantra, and is just chanting. But because they're non-offensive, the mantra is so powerful that actually everyone's life was saved, including his and the pilot's. And that is the event which actually completely cemented his faith in the holy name, because he felt that he had got a new life. Therefore, he was so eager to meet the Hare Krishnas. When he's in that gathering, this personality, George Harrison is very important to our movement because he has done this Jangal Mangalam activity to an extent which practically nobody has done. Huh? The single most person who has spread the holy name all over the world practically, on behalf of Prabhupada and the Parampara, of course, is empowered, is George Harrison. The entire West Pasha Desha Tarine, the whole Western civilization, Europe and America, got the Hare Krishna mantra through George Harrison. So he did the Jagat Mangala activity in the Western Hemisphere. Huh? Everybody heard the mantra first time in their lives through his mouth. So when he actually was in that very elite meeting of meeting all these exalted souls who are all coming to meet him and all celebrities and all, they are like the heads of states, you know, we were just talking about, like that, you know, all the musicians of the planet practically come to meet him. But he is peeping from his door and he doesn't want to meet all these people. By that time he's almost bored of being a big celebrity. And he looks across the room and he sees in the background is a shaven-headed person wearing saffron. And he just cuts through the entire crowd and goes and meets him first. Oh, where have you been, all of you Hare Krishna? I was looking to meet you. That's the first response to seeing the Hare Krishnas. And eventually Shyam Sundar Prabhu and George Harrison become devotees and he narrates the incident of the plane. And then he meets Prabhupada. And after meeting Prabhupada, the second component of Savishta Vaishnavas arises. There's a place they get in, the first temple is there in Bari place. Now Gokulana is installed. But the devotees are in a cramped up place. A lot of devotees are saying, that temple I have not been, but I am told that it is a very small temple. Not many people can stay there. And London Yatra was increasing. By meeting Prabhupada, this person was already chanting Hare Krishna mantra. But by meeting Prabhupada, the second component was ignited in his heart. He wanted to render service. And therefore, he got so inspired by meeting Prabhupada that he purchased the entire manor, Bhaktian manor now, which at that time was a costing of fortune. Huge amount of money. And that he said, he just donated. He said, take this. This is for you, Prabhupada. This is for your devotees to stay. So how the chanting of Hare Krishna by George Harrison, meeting a pure devotee, Prabhupada, and the second component of Savishta Vaishnavas arised in his heart. And that became complete. He kept on chanting Hare Krishna mantra and the desire to serve Vaishnavas increased. Then he made an album for Prabhupada. The first album was there. And that sold all over the world. Right? So by serving Prabhupada more and more and more, the desire to chant Hare Krishna mantra increased. And then and automatically all the singing of those love songs and LSD songs and all that automatically was eliminated. He no longer was attracted to, sing those songs which he had sung just before meeting Prabhupada. He was in fact one of the persons who was promoting the LSD culture, the hippie culture at that time. And he felt very guilty about it afterwards that I sang those songs which promoted the LSD culture. But then all his songs were My Sweet Lord and all that. Just chanting Hare Krishna. He would sing a song and in the end, to make people hear this holy name, Hare Krishna. The song would be there, a nice poem which he had composed, and then in the end was Hare Krishna. So in this way, it is worth remembering the contribution from this great person who really helped Prabhupada to make this Jagat Mangalam activity, where so many sinful people in Europe and in America, they became purified by chanting. And therefore when they met Prabhupada, they were willing to actually start serving him. They were already purified by hearing the tape of George Harrison many, 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 many times. That purification had already taken place. And when they met Prabhupada, actually, they were ripe to render devotional service. So then both the things happened. Chanting was there, Srila Prabhupada's mission was there, and they became purified. And this way, so many millions of people joined Prabhupada's mission. They were already primed by the holy name, by George Harrison. Priming was already done. So, these two components, we are praying, we are hoping that by following Vaishnava etiquette properly, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and doing the second component especially, of serving Vaishnavas, because when the Vaishnavas are pleased, they are blessed. We ask the wise devotees, please pray for me. We always say that. But the real blessing will only come not when the hand is on their head of the Vaishnavas, but when the devotees are pleased, automatically that blessings come. It is not a mechanical act of touching somebody's feet. Therefore, every activity, a devotee has to simply keep on thinking in his mind, how I can serve. Small, small things. There are so many devotees in our temple here who have mastered this art of serving. When Vaishnavas come, they are so pleased. I remember 4 years ago, when there were Prabhupada's disciples who had come to our temple, they had come for the celebration of the 25th anniversary of Rasbihari temple. And at that time, probably for the first time after the initial, they were all together, but afterwards and everyone is in their own zones and there were different places all over the world. But after 25 years, they're all coming together. And the occasion of Pushabhishek had already was there. It was one of the dates was there. But generally we have Pushabhishek on the day when it is there according to the Tithi. But Adanaswami Maharaj thought that in his own mood of serving the Vaishnavas that these devotees, Prabhupada disciples, they must be happy when they come to our temple. So what will make them happy? We will change the date of the Pushabhishek for them. And he changed the date and a grand celebration. It is in this very place. About 50 Prabhupada disciples. Maybe the only time in the whole history of our temple they will ever come here like that. They are all sitting here, you know, like a crescent beginning from there. I was sitting up there. I remember seeing. And by doing that festival, how much those devotees have enjoyed singing and chanting and dancing, experiencing the joy of Pushabhishek. That was like the key, the highlight of their entire visit to Bombay. They were so happy to be at Radharas Bihari, share their experiences. But like, you know, have the sweet in the end, when you have a nice feast, then you have to have the sweet in the end, which actually, you know, gives a lasting taste. So after enjoying the feast of coming to Bombay and sharing all their memories of the old times, after getting the Pushabhishek, that was the last day. The next day, all of them were supposed to go back to their own, you know, places, wherever they were supposed to go, they're coming from. But they had this experience of Pushabhishek. And for Prasadam, downstairs at Bhaktivedanta Hall, I think for the first time, they had all these Mexican dishes and Italian dishes and all these dishes. It was a very specific, it was a very tailor-made to suit their individual taste. There was so much sensitivity and personalism was there. That these devotees have come from Australia, from Italy, and obviously for them, Indian type of prasad would not be the best type of prasad for them. Even though it is all prasad offered to Gopinath, but some of them are used to the Mexican taste, some of them used to the Italian taste. So making dishes exactly according to suit their taste to please them. The best cooks were employed for that, and a nice beautiful arrangement was made downstairs. So a nice prasadam, nice arrangement, central table, four chairs around, a whole new area was created. So what was most wonderful to see was the very, very personalized approach to try and serve each person with such care, with such love, and give them an experience of the one of the most wonderful festivals in our temple. So that sensitivity, that exalted understanding of what will please Vaishnavas, that is what was a very glaring and powerful example for the whole congregation to see. That the dates can change, best cooks can be employed, and it wasn't like sense gratification. It wasn't like, oh, why should we make Mexican for them? Why should we, just give them prasad, nice prasad. No, depending on each one's taste, there should be different prasad for them. Some are used to Indian, some there are South Indian, so many, whatever they liked. That is what makes devotional life so sweet. When there is personalized approach of serving the Vaishnavas, that is make devotional life so very sweet and personal. They were discussing in the counselor outing the other day that why is it our movement is, you know, supposed to be teaching personalism, but there is so much of impersonalism sometimes. So it was explained that actually that it is a component of envy which manifests as impersonalism.
envy to a Krishna actually means we are trying to negate Krishna. That's why we come from the spiritual sky here. So when you come to the material world also, we have to negate Krishna and negate Krishna's devotees. So that manifests, envy manifests as impersonalism. And Vaishnava etiquette is actually a means of negating envy in the most powerful way. Dealing with Vaishnavas, serving them one-to-one is the most important means of eliminating envy. But when you try to please devotees, there is no more envy. I want to please you. I don't want to be the enjoyer. I want to please you. Whatever pleases you is what pleases me. So automatically that envy element just gets eliminated rapidly. When envy goes away, chanting Hare Krishna becomes very powerful. So we are hoping and praying that we can truly imbibe this deep mood which we are being trained so rigorously by our leadership, and that will make our life successful. Hare Krishna.